Welcome back to the special edition of the Business of Government Hour, Leaders Speak, a conversation on healthcare and health research. The 2009 Recovery Act allocated $1.1 billion for comparative effectiveness research. Dr. Carolyn Clancy, director of the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality, describes comparative effectiveness research and ARC's role in pursuing it.
Comparative effectiveness essentially compares how different treatments or diagnostic strategies have worked and for which patients. So patients and their doctors or other clinicians can use this information to make personalized healthcare decisions informed by current science. In other words, you get to get a sense as an individual patient of what has happened to people like me if they took this kind of approach to treating their disease versus another one. We live in a very exciting time right now because of all of the advances in biomedical science. More and more, it's not the case that there's one thing to do for a particular condition. There's choices. Well, how do you make those choices? That's the gap that comparative effectiveness research is struggling to fill. So it's all about focusing on patients' needs and applying the best of science to meet those individual needs. We think that this research will help the healthcare system make sense of all of the rapidly expanding options and innovations in medicine. You know, just pick your condition: high blood pressure, heart failure, HIV, mental illness, the list goes on. There are multiple options, and that's a good place to be, but it's really a great place to be if you've got good information to help you understand what's the right treatment for you. While we've got all these options, one of our biggest challenges is figuring out how do you evaluate these so that patients and clinicians can make the best possible decisions together. Now, ARC has had explicit authority to do this work since the end of 2003. We got funding to do this work starting in 2005. So this additional $300 million comes on top of appropriated investment over the past 4 years of a total of $125 million. So we've built the infrastructure to do that. There are a number of studies at the National Institutes of Health and at the Veterans Affairs Research Group that actually meet all the criteria for comparative effectiveness, comparing treatment options as well. Now, our authority, because it comes from the Medicare Modernization Act, or the drug bill, as some people know it, actually directs the Secretary of Health and Human Services to establish priorities. So we went through a very transparent priority-setting process with a lot of input from the public and private sectors, and ultimately concluded what should frame our work are priority conditions. So that includes arthritis, cancer, cardiovascular disease, including stroke and high blood pressure, cystic fibrosis, dementia, including Alzheimer's disease, depression and other mental health disorders, developmental delays, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder and autism, diabetes, functional limitations, infectious diseases, including HIV, obesity, digestive system conditions, pregnancy and childbirth, pulmonary or lung disease and asthma, and substance abuse. Now, I know I went through that relatively quickly, but if you just reflecting on even hearing a few of those, these are big ticket items for healthcare delivery. We've produced a number of reviews so far and expect to be accelerating that in the period ahead. And what we're saying to clinicians and patients is, here's the facts, and you can use these to make an informed decision. So the Recovery Act actually allocated a total of $1.1 billion for comparative effectiveness research, and we are just so excited about this because we think it's a huge opportunity for the American people. $300 million goes to ARC over the next 2 years, $400 million to the National Institutes of Health, and $400 million will be allocated at the discretion of Secretary Sebelius. Now, to guide the work of the Secretary or how she will make these decisions, the law also established the Federal Coordinating Council. In addition to that, ask the Institute of Medicine to make recommendations about that particular $400 million. So the Federal Coordinating Council has 15 members by law, all federal employees also by law. A few agencies within HHS were specified in the legislation, as was a representative from Veterans Affairs and the Department of Defense, but then there was some discretion about who would be included as well. And the law also specified that at least half of the members had to be physicians or other clinicians with expertise in providing care. So what we've got now is a diverse set of people, which includes the top scientific leadership in the department. It also includes very strong voices for patient groups who are often not well represented in research, people with disabilities, people who are members of racial or ethnic minorities, and so forth. So right at this moment, what we've been doing is meeting on a fairly hectic pace, as you might imagine. But at least as importantly, we've been following the same transparent collaborative process that we've been using at ARC on a much smaller scale for the past few years. The council has used a very similar strategy to get submissions from the public via the website, which range from opinions about whether we should be doing this work to specific topics to specific policy issues that we should be thinking about. We've had three listening sessions, a couple of which required overflow rooms. Two of those sessions were in D.C. One was in Chicago. So, again, we're trying very much to make this a joint enterprise and making sure that we've heard from many, many different points of view before submitting a report to the Congress at the end of June.
Dr. Clancy also explains the role of comparative effectiveness research in healthcare reform efforts.
Comparative effectiveness research is really an essential part of reform because it will help us build an evidence base about treatment decisions made by patients and their clinicians. To say it a different way, if you've looked at or heard about variations in healthcare, a recent article actually compared two towns in Texas in terms of how much money is spent on healthcare and are there differences in outcomes for that greater allocation in terms of resources. Some part of that variation is due to clinical uncertainty. We simply don't know what is the best option for a particular patient. And to that extent, comparative effectiveness research can help address that gap of clinical uncertainty.
When we return to the special edition of the Business of Government Hour, Leaders Speak, a conversation on healthcare and health research, we will focus on research into emerging and re-emerging infectious diseases with Dr. Anthony Fauci, Director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases.